Why, hello, fellow podcast listeners, Eric McElroy, Nick McWilliams, and the departing Michelle Spring. Thanks, TV gal.
Go home and go to sleep.
We are not capable of hitting the start live button ourselves, so that's what she was here for. Nick, a lot to discuss. Seemingly, football season just kind of stumbled upon us.
Yeah, it started in a way. I mean, if you count preseason, that...
It did start in a way, yes. Also, a two-a-days discussion, and the Indians in an interesting race with the Twins, in which the team... They're playing now. Three games remain there. But first, we'll kind of start with two-a-days real quick. All the great coverage we've had on our social media pages. Of course, big shout-out to Lisa Hoy, our local State Farm agent, and all of our game breakdown sponsors that we'll have throughout the year. Day one, I went to Indian Valley, saw some construction, saw some new faces over there at Braves camp. Matt Lancaster is always a pleasure to talk to. You got your first look at things at Ridgewood camp with the Generals. Your first impressions there as you were on site?
I mean, when you walk in there, you kind of feel that whole attitude they have. I mean, how many times, is it 13 playoffs in the last 15 years or something like that?
Yeah.
I mean, for Coach Slusser to make the playoffs is kind of just like...
The Ridgewood Patriots.
What you expect. Ridgewood Patriots. No, you can definitely tell things are run that way. But when you walk in there, it's not like everyone has that just expectation like, oh yeah, we're just going to make the playoffs. No, there's hard work being done. You can tell. It's really impressive to go in there.
Yeah, and of course, John Slusser, always very insightful. Every year he says his team isn't very good and somehow they win 8, 9, sometimes 10 games.
So. He was questioning their mental toughness a lot. And just over and over he kept saying, that I don't think we're very mentally tough. Like, not at all. No, we're just not mentally tough.
With Slusser at the helm, I'm pretty sure they will be tough both physically and, of course, mentally strong. Then we had, let me see if I'm trying to go in order, Newcomerstown after that, in which I was able to take part in. Chris Cale met me there as well. The Trojans going through a little bit of a transition. Dirk Gadd in year number two, year number three, actually. He went out, he's 0-20 so far, still searching for that first win. But the great thing about them, they now have some seniors on that team. And Nick, you know, once you have a few guys around for a few years, they learn the system, they get that down and get a little more comfortable. I just think the wins are going to come now.
Well, that's a big testament to those kids for sticking around. And it's been rough the past 2 years, obviously. I mean, we know it's been rough for them, but having those guys stick around, you're going to start seeing good things happen. And I think it's just going to take time, and it's going to happen here soon. I mean, 2 years has been rough, but we'll see positives start coming through.
Claymont yesterday, also two other camps yesterday, Strasburg and TCC. It was three-a-days yesterday for Big Z Sports. So again, any of that coverage you want to see, it's all up on our Facebook and Twitter pages. Interviews with all the head coaches, pictures of the players out there putting in work, and it's warm out there. When we get out of the AC, out of our chairs, it's a little toasty out there. So those kids, of course, doing great work and getting ready for the season, which will be here before we know it. August 30th, which is a week after normally when it starts, right?
Yeah, it's pushed
back. So what's that mean for the state championship games?
I don't know yet. I mean, I know that's probably already been established, and I'm just unaware of it. But, I mean, I'm just thinking, it's already cold when you hit playoff time. And now we're just going to make it even colder.
I remember the Maslin-Hoban game last year on a Thursday night. It was a cold, rainy evening. So it'll be interesting to see exactly how far that may be pushed back, if at all, a little bit. I'm sure it has to, at least a week.
Am I imagining this, or football is like the only sport who goes through that weird transition, right? Where it's like brutally hot when you start, and then freezing cold when you finish.
Yeah, you're right.
I can't think of another one that does that.
Maybe baseball, but just because it's so long, everybody expects that. But football really does in a short time span, kind of span all three, or, three of the four seasons, if you will. All right, we're done being meteorologists.
There's a reason we don't do that normally.
Exactly. We'll leave that up to the professionals. We want to tell you about our preview show, which is going down at Tinwood Tavern Monday, August the 19th, from 6 until 9. The Big Z Sports crew will be there, which now includes the man to my right, Nick McWilliams. Also, all of your favorite local high school football coaches. It's great to do that show on site, on location. We'll be fed by the lovely folks there at Tinwood Tavern. It's just another great way, Nick, to catch up with these coaches as camps are winding down. They'll have a few scrimmages in by then, maybe a little more insight on their teams. That'll be your first preview show as well with us.
It will. I'm excited to meet all the coaches, but also I'm pretty excited for Tinwood Tavern because I had the food there for the first time not too long ago, and I'm happy about that.
The steaks all the time now at Tinwood Tavern, from what I hear, live music on Saturdays, and their patio is out of this world. I'm hoping for a nice night on Monday night, the 19th, so we can maybe take advantage of that patio life out there. That's our preview show, Big Z Sports High School Football preview show again, Monday night, August the 19th, Tenwood Tavern, 6 until 9. Come join us there. Of course, you can listen right here on your radio or online, WTUZ.com. Even though we're not on the radio right now, I say right here on your radio.
We're in the radio station.
It's just habit. We are in a radio station. Of course we are. Hey, thanks again, podcast sponsors, DAC Vitamins and Minerals, FeedDAC.com. These are microphones and wires here. Also, Hartzler's Quality Housing. See more, HartzlersQualityHousing.com. All right, last night. The Browns had a preseason game. Before that, they sent a player out of town, Duke Johnson. We kind of knew a trade was maybe in the works. We were wondering when it may happen before the season started, when the season got going before the deadline with Kareem Hunt maybe coming back. Week 8, you surprised they got the deal done, Nick?
I'm surprised what they got as a return because I think last night during the broadcast, I think Joe Thomas brought it up. He said that the return that you got from a player who has never really been considered a feature back, I think Duke Johnson maybe could be, but there's obviously the health issue that he's been, he gets injured a lot. But the fact that you could return a fourth rounder that could potentially become a third, that's kind of a pretty big return for a guy like that. I was a little surprised that they did it before any regular season. I was expecting them to get through maybe a week or two of the regular season before they did it. But that just kind of shows you that they really have faith in the depth that they have at that position. Although now with Duke Johnson gone, it's kind of a little bit wavering. I don't know. It's just a scary thought that, and I don't want to jinx anything, but you're a Nick Chubb injury away from, and with Kareem Hunt's not back yet, I don't know how that depth at running back's really going to hold up.
Yeah, don't scare me like that and throw out propositions like that. But listen, Duke Johnson, I think they did right by him because he wanted, there's a reason why he spoke up during organized team activities, mini camp and all that stuff, because he wanted a trade to happen sooner rather than later. He didn't want to be traded midseason. That kind of wrecks your season. Look what happened to Carlos Hyde last year, right? Kind of traded midseason, bounced around. I don't even know where he's at now, to be honest. I know he went to Jacksonville for a hot second.
I don't know if he's, I don't think he's still there.
But yeah, I don't know. But I think we did right by him, sort of honoring what he wanted.
And I can't, you can't blame Duke, I don't think. I mean, for wanting out. I mean, it's not, some people say that, you know,
his role is diminished.
Yeah, and it wasn't. Any player who's trying to play for, well, really, their, what do you want to say, their, well, their paycheck, basically.
Yeah.
If you're playing less, your paycheck's going to diminish. I mean, so I don't blame him, and I don't think he did it in a bad way. I think he was still pretty respectful. I mean, yeah, there was the little tussle between him and Baker Mayfield, or Mayfield calling him out a bit. But
yeah.
You'll have that, and I think that Cleveland really did do right by him by getting him out now.
Drafted in the third round in 2015 was Duke Johnson. He's only 25 years old, which is kind of crazy. Great pass catcher. I mean, listen, between the tackles, you know, he's one of those third down backs.
He's not built like a between the tackles runner.
He's one of those third down backs. But listen, when the Browns were at their worst, you know, just a couple years ago, 1-15, 0-16, he was offensively like the only bright spot you really had, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And that's why Browns fans kind of loved him, the whole Duke, you know what I mean? That's, I mean, listen, he was the best guy on a bad team.
They were happy they could throw something in between the boos. That kind of sounded like the boos.
It kind of sounded like boos. Yeah, we didn't know if they were booing or duking. we had to figure that out. So no Duke last night, but no problem. Baker Mayfield looked impressive on his drive. Hollywood Higgins got to walk the red carpet, which we're all excited to see. Are you shocked to know Odell Beckham Jr. last night?
No, not at all. I mean, it's like Mayfield only having one drive. I mean, you know what you're getting from him. And also, something else that I kind of wanted to point out is, you know, some people are looking at that backup quarterback battle strictly for the fact of, you know, you want to know what you have in case something happens with Mayfield or anything along those lines.
I don't
mind
talking about that.
But
position, the backup quarterback. That's fine.
Yeah, that's fine. Normally we're used to doing, you know, the three, who's going to be the actual starter.
Yes,
But no, I you can say the same thing to the previous point that you didn't see Drew Stanton as much as Garrett Gilbert. Well, that's probably because they know what they're getting in Drew Stanton.
Yeah
it wasn't exactly pretty, but he's been around long enough. So I'm actually really pulling for David Blough to be the guy, for at least the third stringer. But I mean, I like Gilbert too, so I don't know. It's a good thing to have that you're like, well, yeah, any of them are all right. Obviously, there's only
Gilbert
one
did
number
see
six,
a lot
though.
Of time last
oh,
night.
Oh yeah,
a ton.
He's
also from, that's the kid who played for the Texas Longhorns, and when Colt McCoy got hurt in the national championship against Alabama, remember Garrett Gilbert's the kid that came in. Then he ended up transferring after that. But him and Baker actually went to the same high school.
Lake Travis.
Yeah, right?
Yeah,
there in Texas.
You know, it's also funny, though, is a little more lore for the backup
quarterback. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know who David Blough is, right? The Purdue quarterback that destroyed the Ohio State last year.
Former head coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers, David Blatt.
Gotcha. Wrong one. Yeah, the one who picked apart Ohio State pretty
okay,
bad.
Okay, gotcha. No, I don't think I honestly knew that.
Yeah, that's who he is.
Okay,
yeah.
Got real quick, if Baker doesn't take the team down and score there, does he get one more drive last night?
I don't think he does, because no. I really don't think there's a need for it, and I think Kitchens realizes that. I mean, there's really no secret here what Mayfield can do, and yeah, you might want to have him continually get those reps, mm-hmm. but even if he doesn't go down there and get that touchdown, if he has a drive that's almost identical and just doesn't have that touchdown pass, that's still a heck of a drive.
Yeah.
I still don't think you really need him to still be in there. I maybe in game two, you might have him in for a couple more series.
10-15 plays, maybe, yeah, something like
so.
That.
I don't think, regardless touchdown or not, he's still coming out.
It was an interesting drive. They didn't plan on going like 2 minute no huddle kind of right there. Mm-hmm. It's kind of just what the defense gave them at that point.
And good practice for down the road.
There you go. Very good practice. And of course, some other players that stood out last night. I like the way Greedy Williams played a little bit. Came in one time and made a nice tackle in the backfield, which was nice to see.
For all the positives, I'm always the pessimist.
Yes, go ahead.
You saw the blown coverage between him and Cedric Redwine.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Two rookies working, trying.
Right, and I think it was more Redwine's man, because I think he was supposed to be playing mm-hmm. deep safety. But then again, I don't know with the defense what they were actually looking at. I mean, they both seem pretty upset. So it's a learning experience. I don't care. It's preseason. It's fine. Greedy recovered, made some good plays. Redwine made a lot of tackles. So,
he did,
It's fine. They can make that mistake now. That's all right.
I'm interested to see these young players on the defense. Taki Taki's another one of them, but another.
Played fast.
He's like a heat-seeking missile with a helmet on. I think he could potentially, once we get later in this season, be a starter on the defense, replacing, one of the two linebackers.
The only thing is, though, who?
Yeah, either Kirksey or Schobert.
I like Kirksey.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe on the other side with Ray Armstrong, because isn't he slated as the starter right now?
Yeah. Also, Mack Wilson, he's had a nose for the ball in camp. He's made some nice plays, and that sort of transferred over into the preseason game last night.
I like seeing the interceptions, but I didn't really get to see a lot of him in terms of, run stuffing and stuff like that, which is what I thought he was supposed to be.
Right.
So, I mean, to see the athleticism he showed with the interceptions, that's kind of eye-opening. So maybe they really did find a gem here. I don't know.
And Taki Taki's coming along a little bit further and a little bit faster, if you will, than what Mack Wilson is at this point in time, the other Browns linebacker in which they drafted. But I think those two years down the road could be your two staples there.
I'm excited to see what they do in the next few games, but the one position that I really want to see them start implementing more is Drew Forbes, the lineman.
Defensive lineman?
No. Tackle.
Okay.
Isn't it Drew Forbes, the rookie they got from like a Division II college?
I believe you're right.
Am I getting the name wrong? I can't remember.
You might be
right, the Division II lineman that I can't remember, the one at tackle, the one who was supposed to be a steal of the draft. So I want to see him get incorporated a little bit more. It's really hard, in my opinion, to judge offensive linemen, though, during the preseason.
Especially in preseason. And it's in camp, too, really. It's hard to judge them. Those guys up front trying not to get hurt, sort of just pushing each other around up there, playing nice.
Not really, unless you're going against Myles Garrett, who's just going to run around you no matter what.
Yeah, that dude's kind of wrecking camp each and every single day. Which is nice to see indeed. Browns' next game is on Saturday when they take on the Colts. Like you said, we'll see how much more time the starters get then. We know the third game is really the whole dress rehearsal. Mm. By that fourth game, nobody's gonna be playing.
You'll probably have Gilbert and Blau take over the whole game, I'm sure,
right,
at quarterback, and who knows what else we got. Well, there's that running back who was a walk-on at OU that they had play a couple snaps last night. Maybe he'll last all the way up to then just because the just of hoping to have that depth and hopefully keep someone from getting injured.
Yeah.
I can't even remember his name, unfortunately. But
the running back from OU, I know who you're talking about. But they brought him on as sort of like maybe just a body for camp.
Insurance,
but now it may be something more than that. You never know with Duke Johnson now gone. So that opens up a role. Real quick, also, we didn't mention the speedster on the team. That's give me the name again.
Damon Sheehy Giuseppe.
There you go.
Most people call him Sheehy. I like Giuseppe.
I'm getting a Sheehy jersey. I know that. Number 15. He was flying, what was that, 80-plus yard?
86.
Which was nice to see. What was even nicer to see was the whole team surround
just
him and
mobbed.
Celebrate with him, which was nice.
I hope he, just from the story alone, I mean, you saw all the gifts and stuff on Twitter about with Willie Mays Hayes running in and doing this. I mean, it's that kind of story, which, you've seen that. People say that often, but I hope that he can, I don't think he'll necessarily carve out a position with wide receiver. I mean, the level of competition he had was so much lower, but a guy who's that fast and agile, I mean, he made some moves on that punt return.
Yeah.
So maybe he carves out a bit of a niche with the punt return. I mean, it's as we mentioned before this, it's been a long time since Cleveland has had a return specialist, like a Josh Cribbs or a Dennis Northcutt.
Dennis Northcutt, that's Ludacris's doppelganger.
There you go. Who was the other guy? Gerald McNeil, was that the other Ice Cube?
That's going back a ways.
I'm not that old, but I promise I know things.
Yeah, he does. He's very knowledgeable upstairs. Yeah, and also Callaway too. He's maybe slated to do some punt and kick returning. But I tell you what, if Sheehy comes on like this, and if he does make the team, he'll be that sixth receiver probably. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But he is a long shot to make the squad.
Well, obviously with his background, but you never know. Freddie Kitchens might surprise us.
Don't you think Hard Knocks would have just loved to be in Cleveland again one more year?
Oh my gosh!
Like they were off just by 1 year, man.
That would have been interesting. Yeah. I mean, it would have been fun, but then again, we also, if they would have come this year, we wouldn't have gotten, what is it, Bob Wiley's Seth Hutt stomach movement.
I guess you're right. I guess you're right. Which he's no longer even.
No, that's what I mean. Like, they missed it by that, but you would have seen him.
By the way, he said something about Freddie Kitchens the other day. He kind of fired off.
It was something with the quarterback's coach, and tell you the truth, it starts with a Z, his last name, but I can't even think of it. That's
Kitchens basically said that he's not a part of the team anywhere. If you don't wear brown and orange, you don't matter, is kind of what he's saying.
But Wiley was saying that the quarterback's coach did all the offensive play calling, not Kitchens. So it was interesting, but who knows if it's really a thing. I don't know. After watching that first game, I think I'm pretty convinced that Kitchens knows how to call.
Yeah, that's kind of really the one unknown going into the season for the Browns is the rookie head coach. How's he handle all this? Kind of that meteoric rise, if you will, from like running backs coach to O coordinator, now to head coach in like less than a year. Just doesn't happen. A lot of times on a team, a running backs coach is like the entry level kind of position onto the team. Wouldn't you agree? That's maybe just the one unknown going in. I mean, we know Baker's probably going to get a little bit better. We're hoping. We know Odell is one of the best receivers. We know Miles is ready to take over games, but just the head coach. That's the one kind of question mark.
It is, because he's still helping call the offensive plays with Todd Monken, and I think that might help because Todd's been around for a while. I mean, he knows what he's doing, so I think that'll help guide maybe Kitchens a little bit. But I think with just the composure I've seen or his attitude with things, I think he'll be all right. We'll see how he reacts when the games actually matter.
When the bullets are flying.
Yeah, when the games really start counting, it'll be interesting to see. But I don't know. There's a weird optimism around it that normally when Cleveland has a new head coach that no one seems to have. Although, oddly, they did have when Hugh Jackson came around. I mean, there was some positivity just for his quarterback whispering ability, apparently.
We thought he was an offensive guru, yeah.
1-31.
Pretty much explains it. I think it was worse than that, right? 1-1 because then he had the
season,
tie.
The first two seasons started 1-31.
I forget. I honestly try to erase that whole Hugh Jackson era from.
There's a lot of recent.
Can you go
history.
Men in Black on me with a little memory stick and erase? But you brought up a good point. I think one thing that helps the Browns and Freddie Kitchens this year is John Dorsey did a good job of teaming Freddie up with guys who have been around the block a couple times. You mentioned Monk and offensive coordinator Steve Wilks on defense. They've paired him up with guys who may be head coaches even one day, especially Monken. I mean, he's a year or two away probably from being a head coach.
Do you remember what the new running back's coach name is?
No, I don't.
Did you see the beard last night?
I know the beard you're talking about.
Oh, my gosh.
The gray beard. And all
Oh, my gosh. It's wonderful. That's the kind of guy I want being my running back's coach.
There you go. Coach, you got something in your beard. What'd you say to me? What'd you say? Tonight, Pittsburgh hosting Tampa Bay. And then Cincinnati hosting Kansas City, that's actually tomorrow on Saturday as week one of the NFL preseason gets going. They don't even call the Hall of Fame game week one. They just call it Hall of Fame week. This is technically week one. But those two teams now play five games.
You know, this is a totally random point.
Yeah.
You know, there's been talk of shortening the preseason. I mean, a lot of people want it. Does anything happen with the Hall of Fame game then if it gets shortened? Because, I mean, it counts as a preseason game.
Yeah, it does.
So I don't know if anything happens with that. I mean,
I don't think it could.
It's kind of a staple, I mean, of the enshrinement week, no matter if people really care about it or not. People show up to it, so.
Yeah, I mean, you're right about that. And it used to be on, now they have it on Thursday before that stuff. The game used to be on Sunday after everything. But what they're doing over there, that new stadium, that Hall of Fame game, I don't think is going anywhere.
No,
I
was just curious to think because I hear people laugh about it and say, oh, we've got the Hall of Fame game somewhere. people watch it. I mean, you're going to keep watching
it. If they do eliminate preseason games, they may eliminate one but still have the Hall of Fame game instead of, you know, then those teams wouldn't play an extra.
They'll probably add some kind of incentive or something for a team to, like, accept the invite, or there's like a mandatory acceptance of it. I mean, you know, right. something along those lines.
You win this game, you're in the Hall of Fame.
There you go. At least one player from this roster is guaranteed the Hall of Fame.
At least one. It could be you. Anyway, of course, again, next weekend, the Browns in action again against the Colts, which those are two teams that are probably going to be pretty good in the AFC both this year. Real quick, baseball discussion, and there's only one real discussion to have right now, and that's the race in the American League Central, which is certainly heating up after last night. The Indians beat the Twins 7-5. It got interesting late, but they did prevail. Jose Ramirez finally swinging the bat like he was in 2016 and the early part of 2017. He had three RBIs last night in that game, and the Indians now just one game, Nick, behind the Twins.
Mm-hmm. Well, Kipnis looked good in that game, too. The only one point I really wanted to make is how you mentioned it got interesting late. Clevinger looked like he was in command most of the game. He had, I think, the fourth inning he got dinged up a little bit, but it was concerning that it was the bullpen that about blew it for you. I think it was Adam Simber had a rough night that he gave up three runs. And that's a little concerning when you're coming down to the playoff stretch. You need a bullpen. And they've been fine all year. So, I mean, it's probably nothing to worry about. But and plus, when you're going against the Twins have been lights out this year. So it's probably nothing that concerning. But I was surprised at the outcome, truthfully.
It does get hairy when, you know, your starter can only go in any game 4, 5, or 6 innings, right? And then you have to use the bullpen for the remainder of the game. That's why missing some of these horses like Bauer, who can maybe go 7 or 8, or Kluber, who we're obviously missing. But yeah, the bullpen, you're right. I mean, at times, yeah, but I think the great thing now, the Indians are starting to score a little bit of runs, which they weren't doing early in the season.
The weird thing about that, too, is I was expecting them to start scoring more runs with the two guys that they brought in up at the major league level, but Franmil Reyes is really being a disappointment so far, just strictly for the fact, I mean, yeah, he's probably getting reacclimated. Well, you expected him to strike out a lot because he did that before, and I almost wonder, is there a certain point, is it too late in the season to think about maybe for a bit, and he might not like this, but relegate him back to Columbus just for a little while?
You're right, he wouldn't like that.
Well, he would not like it at all, but I'm just saying maybe it would hopefully get him with his timing back, because I think he's 0 for his last 16 or something like that in 5 games. That's off the top of my head. I'm not sure if that's perfect.
You might be right.
So that's a little bit concerning to me. He's drawn a couple walks, but I don't know.
Yeah, maybe throw some of that into he just got traded, new team, new.
But Puig's not doing that.
No, yeah.
Puig's hitting, so.
Yeah, he is raking a little bit, which, listen, that lineup looks a little better with Puig in the middle of it. It makes it harder for the other team, their pitchers, to pitch around certain guys.
Well, I expected it to be reversed when they made this trade. I expected Puig to be the one that we're like, oh my gosh, and Reyes being the one who was really hitting. And
yeah.
Nope, I was entirely wrong on that. Wouldn't be the first time.
We've seen Tito kind of flip the magic switch a couple times. Who was it? Jay Bruce last year, right? Mm-hmm. Kind of came on. And then Napoli had that just one full year that was kind of sensational.
Party at Napoli's.
I think we are. Gosh, I forgot about that. I think we're kind of hoping that Tito pushes that button again with a couple of these guys that we just brought in.
There's still a little bit of time, and it's no need to worry. I mean, I know I mentioned about send Reyes back down to Columbus, but
calm down.
I know. I'm jumping the gun a bit here.
Nick is already has Chubb getting hurt already this year, and
Mayfield possibly apparently.
Yeah, and Reyes being sent down for assignment.
I'm a bit of a cynic. I can't help it. So
there's 3 games remaining in this series, this 4 game set, and I think total 3 in this. I think they only play each other total 9 more times now.
Something
that includes
like that.
The 3 this weekend. But let me ask you, after this weekend series, who's on top of the AL Central?
It's still the Twins. I apologize. But, I mean, if you start looking later in terms of this series, I mean, I'm trying to think who's on the mound coming up for the
Do you have your phone available?
Maybe I don't. But it's not that I don't have faith in the starting rotation, because I do, because I think this might be your future starting rotation with the youth that's in it. But I think the Twins are just too good of a team. I mean, let's put it this way. Indians are not sweeping this series, obviously. I think because if there's 3 games left, they're 2 games back, right?
Now 1, yeah. Now 1 after last night.
It's not still 2, it's 1 now?
It's 1 game.
Okay. I think at the end of this series, Minnesota is up by 1 game. I think.
All right. Still. So basically, if you win, if you win three out of four, you would have had a win.
Yeah.
You split, tied.
Mm-hmm.
So you only think they're getting what? Not anymore in this series?
No. I really don't.
All right.
Unless we're doing math wrong, which if we are, please point it out to
which
us.
Which we probably are, Nick McWilliams.
But I think somehow Cleveland actually might pull out the AL Central somehow by the end of the season. And if not that, I bet you they're getting a wild card. Definitely for sure. But definitely for sure. There's a good phrase for you.
I think I saw this the other day with remaining schedules and who has a tougher remaining schedule and who doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
The Indians have a pretty easy remainder of the way schedule-wise. And a team that's just right above them in terms of an easier schedule is the Twins. So both these teams, that tells me they have a lot of division games left.
I was about to say that helps that considering you got two people in the AL Central and who else is in the who else is there? I really have no idea.
Exactly. So this thing is going to go down to the wire, if you ask me. And it's a shame baseball didn't maybe schedule these two teams to play a series at the end of the year.
Well, I don't think no one expected the Twins to do this, did they?
I mean, they made the playoffs last year.
They did.
I think they won. I don't know. I thought they won close to 100 games last year.
But they blew everybody out of the water to start the season, didn't they?
Yeah, they were.
And, you know, Cleveland, I think...
Built up a huge lead, yeah.
Well, and there was a similar thought process with Cleveland because of how much they lost.
Yeah, they did downgrade a little bit.
Yeah. I shouldn't say how much because I still don't think they gave up that much. But
I just think it shows how great of a manager, honestly, Tito is to keep the wheels on this thing.
Eventual Hall of Famer.
I mean, honestly, kind of a no-brainer there. Corey Kluber the other day in Columbus on assignment went three innings, gave up two home runs against the Boston Red Sox minor league program. They're saying maybe a few starts towards the end of the year to maybe get him ready for the postseason. Should we count on Kluber at all?
Depends on where the postseason push is.
Yeah.
I mean, his velocity was not great, and you expect that.
I think
with
he topped
long,
out at 90.
Right around 90, and you don't, and you expect that with how long he's been out. I mean, it's going to take a while to get back to the swing of things, but it always concerns me because how
May
old is
first he got hurt?
Yep.
Wow. But
you remember watch? Do you remember watching that game? Kluber being in true Klubot form did not want to. He didn't want out.
No,
show
he didn't.
Pain,
it was in, it was in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that. Yeah.
But anyway, he's 32, 33 now.
33.
I get real concerned when a player has that kind of injury, especially a pitcher when he's that old.
Hmm.
I mean, Kluber has always been Kluber, but what happens when that velocity isn't there and that bite isn't there on the breaking balls? Now, people did say after that game he had the same bite on his breaking balls, but I'm a little bit concerned when he's losing about 4 or 5 miles an hour off his fastball.
Threw two, gave up two home runs,
mm-hmm.
41 pitches is what he threw for AAA Columbus
mm-hmm.
against the Paul Tuckett Sox. I don't know if that's what they're called, the Sox or not. He struck out two, walked one, and then retired the final five batters that he did face. Yeah, when you get a two-time Cy Young Award winner back, it's always good. You just don't know what kind of Kluber you're getting back. Because we've seen hurt Corey Kluber before in the postseason, and we don't like it.
No, it's a little bit rough. But who knows? I mean, if they really, really need bodies, if they're having a postseason push, I mean... You're going to have to use him, I guess, and trial by fire, I guess, but that's also a bit of a scary thing to do with a starting pitcher. I don't like doing that.
Tuesday in Columbus is Kluber's next scheduled start. They don't really know, you know, how many pitches he may throw. Again, 41 in the last one. So it's always good to see. If you build it, they will come, Nick. And I guess they're finally coming in 2020. Have you seen the movie Field of Dreams?
Absolutely. One of my all-time favorites.
I would hope you have seen the movie. Now, I don't know how they're going to do this. Is the cornfield going to be the home run fence? I don't really get it.
I think, so to my understanding, they're building temporary things. So you know how like in... you know the celebrity softball game where they have that fake fence around?
Yes.
I think it's going to be similar to that. And apparently they're hauling in like 8,000 temporary seats. There's only 8,000 tickets being sold to this.
Wonder how much these tickets will go for. What we're talking about, the Field of Dreams field, of course, from the popular movie, is going to actually host a regular season Major League Baseball game between the Chicago White Sox, of course, the team that was kind of present in the movie, if you will,
mm-hmm.
irrelevant.
Shoeless Joe Jackson.
Yeah, there you mm-hmm. go. And then, of course, the New York Yankees will be the other team.
Yippee. I mean, it's two teams that I really have no concern of one mm-hmm. way or another, but I tell you what, if I could get my hands on a ticket, I would do it, because this would be awesome.
Major League Baseball made this announcement yesterday. Like you said, yeah, a temporary 8,000-seat stadium will be built on the site. When they say built, well, are they going to build it and they'll be able to take it down? Or are you going to build it and more people will come? I don't understand.
nice reference.
I know.
I The only thing that shocks me is that I didn't even know this field still existed.
Oh, it's yeah.
I knew it was just on a farm out in Iowa.
Yeah, but, Dyersville, Iowa.
Yeah, but can you imagine if you own this field still? How much of a cut do you get from these ticket sales?
Thing?
It's got to be. There's still corn out there, so I mean,
they
it's
better
still
not ruin those home run balls. Better not ruin any corn.
It's all right. Deer ruin them more than the.
That gives a whole new meaning, I guess, to the term can of corn, when there's a high pop up that will occur maybe in this game. That one just came to me.
Normally it's Chris Kale, but Eric McElroy, everyone.
Off the top of my head right there. So, I mean, listen, it'll be fun to be. August 13th is when it's going down. Mm-hmm. So a little more than a year from now. So the field is about 200 miles west of Chicago. Mm-hmm. Didn't realize Chicago and Iowa were that close. Illinois and Iowa border one another? I guess they do.
Yeah, they do. You ever make that drive out to Iowa?
No.
I did from Columbus to Iowa for the...
For a game?
Yeah, Ohio State versus Iowa in 2017 when they... But it's a long drive. Lots of corn.
Well, I know that. I mean, in terms of atmosphere for a college game and everything else, I mean, from what everybody said, it's one of the best, so... You were there. Was it one of the best?
Oh, the atmosphere. Iowa? Yeah, I mean,
Iowa City.
Hands down, the best part was the wave that they do to the Children's Hospital. But we're really getting off track from this. But it was a fantastic moment. It's incredible, really. But I have to imagine thinking of that atmosphere, but also thinking of this atmosphere would have to be. I feel like this is. I don't even know how you would describe the Field of Dreams field. I mean, it's. Caught in movie lore and baseball lore.
Yeah.
So.
They'll play, so the series between the Sox and the Yankees, they'll play one game there, have a day off, then go back to Chicago to finish the three-game set.
I feel like players are probably super excited strictly for, you know, Field of Dreams, but also probably kind of bummed because that's, when you're so used to having series of like, okay, game this day, game this day, game this day, and then you have a breakup of it, maybe that's a little weird for them.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure it gets overridden by the fact of where they're playing.
Yeah. Now, I'm sure it'll be on national TV. Oh, they say Fox will air it, that game.
Yeah.
That special one. So can't, probably can't Joe imagine. Buck will be there.
Oh, boy, great.
I can't wait to hear Can of Corn from Joe.
I can't wait with the Chicago White Sox and the New York Yankees that he's somehow going to bring up Kyle Schwarber. I don't know how that's going to happen.
By the way, we're here watching the White Sox. Speaking of Chicago.
You ever hear of Kyle Schwarber?
Yeah, that guy and his love affair.
You ever see that picture of him when he was playing football in Ohio? And... I was playing against Braxton Miller.
Yeah.
You ever see the caption that says, "This is the moment Kyle Schwarber decided to give up on football."
Decided to give up on football. I think I saw that floating around there during the 2016 mm-hmm. World Series. But yeah, I forgot they did play against one another.
Yeah. That's crazy. It's so weird how small world.
It is a small world. By the way, we mentioned Browns and we brought up Ohio State there in the end. It kind of reminded me, we didn't even talk about Dwayne Haskins real quick last night during the game. He looked a little rough.
He did, but I think that's okay. I mean, it's his first technical real action, and the thing that made him or let him have a name for himself when he was at Ohio State, he's got a cannon of an arm, and that's why Washington fell in love with him. It takes time to get through your progressions and really start learning things because the way Ohio State runs an offense is not a pro-style offense in any way. It's really not, and it's going to take him time to start understanding and learning that stuff a little bit better. The thing that shocked me is he looked way better running the like two read options or the run-pass options that he had. He looked good doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's a little bit more of a wrinkle. He is never going to be a running quarterback no matter what.
No, that's not his game.
But I think maybe just a little bit of the nerves went into this game. And yeah, they were bad passes when he had the turnovers, and he had a couple where he wasn't even close. But he showed promise, and I think that's all you needed if you're a Washington fan. I really hope... For his sake, they don't rush him into starting.
No, I was just going to say that. Don't rush him.
Just start Case Keenum or Colt McCoy. Yeah, McCoy's still around, right? Holy cow, I can't believe I just said start Colt McCoy. Oh, man.
Draft him in your fantasy league, everybody.
No, yeah, sleeper pick right there. But I
it
really
should
hope...
It should be Keenum the starter until Washington goes about 2-5, 2-6, and then you know what they'll do.
You know what I've already... But what's already been coming out, though, is that people saying Kyler Murray and Daniel Jones were obviously the better picks just because they had better first preseason games. And you know what? We really don't know. It's one game in. Maybe they will be. But I think with what we saw Haskins do at Ohio State, there were throws that he makes and there were things that he does that I would hazard to say that no one else at his age level, you know, whether it be Murray or Jones or any of the other quarterbacks taken, that no one else can do the things that he does. So we'll see. Hopefully it turns out well for him. But I have to admit, there was something oddly satisfying about watching the Browns defense do good things like that. Against a guy who was as hyped as Haskins.
And you mentioned Kyler Murray. He's going to get rushed into playing right away, number one overall pick.
But
the thing is, their O-line is horrible. And I fear for that kid's life and safety into the season.
But you see the way he avoids pressure. I mean, he did it at Oklahoma, and he'll do it. And I think he fits perfectly into Kingsbury's offense. But
that'll be a fun game with like week 14, Browns, Cardinals, that.
But it is scary because he's not a real big kid. Mm-mm. And he can really move, but so can defenses in the NFL. And it's going to be a little concerning seeing him dance around like that. It's entertaining, but I mean, there are numerous quarterbacks who have done that. I mean, Michael Vick comes to mind that he did it well. And there's other quarterbacks that come to mind, but then you also start thinking of all the ones who were mobile and that really ended poorly for them. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater has gone downhill quite a bit after it. Robert Griffin III, obviously Browns fans. Do you really want to hear about Johnny Manziel, of course? But hopefully it's better for Murray, but he looked really good, so maybe it will work out. But again, it's preseason, so we'll see what happens in the regular season. I don't think there's any doubt that he's starting, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, week one, no doubt about it. I don't even know who else they have. Carson Palmer still? Maybe. Kurt Warner?
Coming out of retirement.
There you
Matt
go.
Leinart, maybe?
It's cute that we wanted to end with baseball that then went back right to football, and we'll end the podcast there.
Everything about this is a tangent, you know that.
You basically know how big Z Sports works at this point. We do want to thank those of you who participated along with us, DAC Vitamins and Minerals. Thanks for sponsoring our podcast every week. Feeding champions since 1983, feeddac.com. It's almost fair time, too. Get those show animals ready, boy. Also, Hartstra's Quality Housing. Find them on the interwebs, too, hartstrasqualityhousing.com. More two-a-days coming next week. And, of course, your next podcast coming at some point in time next week. Hopefully when the Indians are in first place in the American League Central.
You predicting a sweep?
No, I'm not saying that.
Three and one?
I just said hopefully when they are.
So 3-1?
I'd go with the split.
Two and two.
Knowing that at this point, if you split, you're going to be tied with them, right?
You'd be one game back.
You would be one game back. I'd take that.
Mm-hmm.
Because then...
That would be...
You know what I mean? You went in two games out, you come out one game out. I think you're set up just fine. Yeah,
with other games to go, you're set up fine.
There we go. Now we ended with baseball.
We figured out the math finally.
And we did figure out the math, which is always tough. All right, again, you want to go in that bad boy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I guess, you know, we need him to shell spring again and her step stool.
She's still here. I just saw her out there.
All righty. Adios, Big Z Sports.